Hi there, this is Jacob Msipa, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you. This morning, allow me to share briefly on the message titled, The Spirit of Glory. The Spirit of Glory, which is going to be our primary focus even for the month of May. It's going to be a theme, if you may, for the month of May. And I want to read our main text from 1 Peter chapter number 4. And I'm going to read from verse number 12 through to verse number 14. 1 Peter chapter number 4. From verse number 12 through to verse number 14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. In other words, uzodlula khona eyintweni nomusindisiwe. It's not strange. It's not demonic. It's not a curse or anything. Verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. In other words, Christ himself went through it and we are not immune. But then it says that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God. So in other words, this Spirit of glory that we are talking about, it is a Spirit of God. Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. Right? How do I know if I'm reproached in the name of Christ? So if I'm not reproached, I should be worried. But the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. On their part, he is blasphemed and but on your part, he is glorified. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. We pray that you may speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our primary focus for the second term, I said for this month it will be the Spirit of glory, but for the second term entirely, it will be built for his glory. Built for his glory. Everything that is built by someone. And it is built for a particular purpose. Nobody builds for the sake of building. And we can never wake up to an existing building that is just standing on its own without knowing where it comes from. And as soon as we see that there is something that has been built, we will know that it is built for a particular purpose, Bazalwane. Hebrews 3 verse 4 tells us, for every house is built by someone. But he who built all things is God. That's what the Bible says. So even though God is using us, but he is the chief builder, that's what we are supposed to be aware of. Amen. God, of course, grants us the grace, the wisdom to even build our lives. So even as you are building your life, even as you are building your family, your marriage, it is built by you. But then again, the Bible tells us that, but God is the builder of all things. And even as we are building, we are building for a particular purpose. We are not just building in vain. Are we here? But take note, We are not building for our own glory. We are not building at the end of the day so that when we succeed and prosper in it, so that we can get the applause, or so that we can build, you know, ourselves a big or a great name. Like we said even last week, that there were those who were building the Tower of Babel, and the Bible tells us that they wanted to make themselves or build themselves a name. In other words, they were doing what they were doing, not to the glory of God, but so that they can receive credit for whatever it is, for whatever success that they are going to experience in their own lives. So therefore, we need to be aware, number one, that when we are going to be mindful of the fact that we are building for the glory of God, it is very critical that we allow the chief builder to be the one who is going to build through us. Yes, you are the one who is going to wake up and go to work. Yes, you are the one who is going to start that business. Yes, you are the one who is going to propose, get down on your knee. Is it one knee or double, Tina? You know, we did not do those things. You know, we just did it by the anointing. I see the glory of God all over you. Amen. And yes, you are the one who is going to, and by the way, maybe as a side thing, and I wrote about this in my book, Arise and Build, I said each and every one of us, we have got to embark on that thing of building. Arise and build your life. Nobody's going to do it for you. And you need to also understand that until you decide to wake up and go and look for that job, until you find it, you have not yet started building, right? No, there's no marriage. You are not going to stumble into marriage. You need to stand up and propose somebody. Amen. Thank you. And funny enough, you know, you are married to a good husband. Yeah, now, you know, this thing of you are still praying and you are a man. You know, ladies, Mina, I won't blame you. You must not even feel bad. But there are these gents who are still thinking or praying. I don't understand. You are already more than 21 years old. I don't know. What are you waiting for? Just need to watch and pray. Open your eyes, see a godly woman, and just boldly step out and tell them you want to be a good husband in their lives. Don't say, no, I want the angel to glow you. I mean, it's even obvious. You are in the same church, they are here, you are listening to the same pastor. What are you waiting for? You can't pray forever, you know. You're saying God answers prayer when it comes to your car, your job. Mara, you are the one delaying this answer. And God is waiting for you to just arise and build your marriage. It starts with a woman. Find he who finds. He who finds. So just find somebody. Look around. I mean, there are many single ladies who are godly here. Just mompe, smile, and we are tandaza. Now we are tandaza. You know, two genuine people who love God. I don't know what are you waiting for. You know, you will buy a car together. You'll buy a house together. You are just. Hey, man. Shatan, gents. Please, man. Nizakazatan born in Pumaranjan. Amen. Amen. But as you build, be aware that even though it's you who is doing that, you have got to, especially as a believer, be conscious of the fact that God is the chief builder in your life. God is the builder of all things. That's what the Bible says. And therefore, it's very important that you would want to build your life the way that he wants you to build it, because it is he who is building. Build your marriage the way that he wants you to build it, because it is he who builds it. What makes our marriages to fail, our homes to fail, our careers to fail, our businesses to fail? It is because we insist on building the way that we want. Because God cannot fail. If it is he who is building, therefore whatever it is that we are building will not fail. Psalm 127 verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. So if I don't involve God, I'm going to be building in vain. The Message translation says you are going to be building a shack. That's what the Bible says. And all of us, I'm sure, we want to build quality lives, quality marriages, quality careers, quality businesses. But we have got to use uNkulunkulu. God is there. He wants to be used. He wants to be used in our marriages. As much as it is not going to be an easy one, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. But take note, whatever it is that you build, not for your own name, but for his name, God will fill it and consecrate it with his glory. Whenever you build something, building it for God, building it for his name, God will always be interested in it. And the major thing that he is going to do is that he would want to glorify it. Are we here, Barcelona? He would want to fill it with his glory. He will want his glory to be visible. In other words, it cannot be hidden. We cannot run away from the fact that here's something significant that is happening in front of our eyes. Are we together? So when the tabernacle of Moses was built, God commanded Moses to build it. Like I said earlier, it was Moses who was building it, but it was God who was building it through Moses. And when Moses was embarking on that, after he completed it, Exodus 40 from verse 34, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And if I can just throw in a thought around that, it would be, look, sometimes God will anoint you to build something that you will never be able to take credit for. So here's Moses, he builds this thing, is a great thing, but unfortunately after that it is complete, the cloud of God, yaimboza, to a point that now Moses is even unable to access it, the very thing that he built. In other words, God wants us to build the kind of a thing that at some point uzoyikhipha ezandleni zakho and take full ownership of it, so that everyone who sees that thing, they can see not your hand, but they can see the glory of God over that particular thing that is happening. So even when Solomon was building the temple, the same thing happens. In 2 Chronicles 7 verse 1, he is done and he is praying over this temple, and he is dedicating it unto the Lord. And the Bible says when Solomon had finished praying, guess what happens? Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. That's what the Bible says. Take note, once again, verse 2, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. You and I, as we walk out of this place, we need to be aware that what God wants us to build, what God wants us to do, it is something that one day is going to be so much filled with the glory of God that it will be impossible for people to trace your hand in it. In other words, you are not going to be able to take credit for your own life, take credit for your own marriage, take credit for your own business, take credit, because it will be so much full of the glory of God in such a way that even you will not be able to explain what is it that you have achieved, what is it that you have attained, but you will be forced to point everyone to God and tell them that this was not by my own intelligence and by my own strength, but it was God himself who was doing it. Amen. So even after the temple, as we know, that because of the captivity, the temple then, you know, underwent some destruction. We all know that. And that's why we have the book of Ezra, we have the book of Nehemiah, because they had wanted to go then and rebuild this temple that was destroyed. Because it was significant in the history of the children of Israel. I don't want to dwell much in that, because then it might take me to certain places, and then says Opuma Ngofife and Tambam. But here's what I want us to take note. Even when the temple was rebuilt, God promised once again that even as you are embarking on a journey to rebuild this temple, Haggai 2 from verse 7, and I will shake all the nations, that's what God says, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And he says, I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And then he continues to say, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. What does that mean? It simply means God was simply saying, even though it was destroyed, maybe because of their own doing, but he said, as long as you still want to be engaged in its restoration in my own ways, in my own terms, I am still committed. I am going to fill it with glory. And take note, he says, and the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Let's bring it home to our lives. So in other words, even with us, from time to time, there are certain things that we attempt for God, great things that we attempt for God. And maybe, you know, round one, you tried to do something, things did not work out the way that you had anticipated or the way that you wanted God to do them in your life. Maybe you tried that first marriage, it did not work. Do not sit and be afraid of attempting something else or another marriage or another business or another job, because God says, as long as you are going to be engaged in the restoration of what was destroyed by the enemy in your hands, and this time around ensure that you are going to rebuild it according to my blueprint, God says, I am still committed. I am going to fill this project with my glory. And guess what? He says, and the glory of this latter project is going to be greater than the glory of the former project. I am here to tell somebody who has attempted something maybe in 2023 and it fell down flat. It did not succeed. It did not prosper. And maybe it left you distressed and frustrated. Be like in the book of Nehemiah. They said, look at the distress we are standing in. And he said, we, the people of God, are going to do what? Are going to arrive. And we are going to build. So don't be afraid. Do not be afraid to attempt something else for God. That project is going to be filled with the glory of God. The people are going to see the hand of God over that project. The people are going to see the power of God. As a matter of fact, God is going to use your failure to glorify himself. As a matter of fact, sometimes the glory of God deals with us. What you were saying earlier on, that Umamfundisi says all the time, that die and die fast. Sometimes when God sees that we might temper with his glory, he kills us first. He allows things to fail in our hands. He allows things to get out of our hands, so that by the time the glory hits, it will be known that only God can pull you out of such an awkward situation. Only God can restore you back to that place of believing in marriage once again, even though the previous one showed you flames, as they say. But God will be able to restore your heart and make you to be that loving man, and help you to be that submissive wife, and give you the kind of wisdom that this time around, I'm going to build, and I am going to build with humility. I'm going to build with wisdom. I am going to build with courage. I am going to build with the anointing and with the favor of God upon my life. I tried it. It did not work, but I am coming for the glory of God this time around. I am coming with humility. I am going to see the power of God begin to rise this thing up from the ground. I am not here to fail, but I am here for the glory. I am not here to sit down and be discouraged. I am here for the glory. I am here to prophesy to somebody. Don't give up as yet. Don't sit down and think that it is over. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. It does not matter how much you have lost. It does not matter how much the devil has stolen from you. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Sit down. Let's continue. Say the glory of this latter project shall be greater than the glory of the former. I was listening to another message and it encouraged me so much that sometimes we experience failure, disappointment so much in such a way that even when God gives us a breakthrough, we experience that breakthrough but still anticipating that at some point something is not going to go right. We are expecting that. The title of that message was, "Whatever you do, do not drown." Because somehow we are afraid. And let me tell you something. Sometimes fear becomes the magnet that draws things that were never meant for you. And I'm here to tell you something. This time around, you are not going to fail. Anticipate success, increase, anticipate elevation, anticipate promotion, anticipate that it is going to shine brighter and brighter unto a perfect day, unto a perfect year, unto a perfect future. Tell yourself, I am not here to lose another round, devil. I am here for my restoration. I am here for my elevation. I am here for my promotion. I am here just to prove a point that at the end of the day, it is not over until God says, it's over. The Bible says the righteous man falls. Oh my goodness. Maybe for 7 times, but here's what God will do. I will rise up yet one more time. I will rise up another time to build my life. I am not going to fail. Say, I am not going to fail. So just like the temple of Solomon that suffered destruction, so did the church during what was called the Dark Ages. We know that when the church started in the book of Acts, it started strong. I mean, the kinds of miracles that were happening there. Oh, Jesus. The Bible tells us of how even people were healed by the shadow of Paul and the apostles, and how people were healed by the handkerchiefs that were given from their bodies. They did not even have to be there physically. Are we here, Bazalan? But Ngobute Bendlela, the church went through some difficult periods. The church began to lose the power. The church began to lose doctrine. The church began to lose. I mean, we need to ask ourselves, see, Figenjan Lascon. Christianity is so disintegrated all over the world. It's difficult even today to know which is which. And even as they say, Nobuba too excited when they say 85% of South Africa is Christian. Because, I mean, so now you know, must call it some former school, and they used to ask us religion. You would say Christian. And even when you were not yet a Christian, you would say Christianity. In other words, it's a preferred religion. In other words, if I can decide to be a religious person, I'm going to choose Christianity. But not that I am one now. How many times did you tick that box? Applying for a home loan. You were not a Christian yet. You said Babati religion, you said, because you wanted to position yourself. You wanted to be religiously correct this time around, not politically correct. Are we here, Barcelona? So the church went through the dark ages, and that's why we find ourselves so lost, even to this day, when it comes to doctrine, about certain critical things. Are we here, Barcelona? But we saw God then beginning to restore his church. I mean, there was a time where there were certain things that were never recognized or acknowledged by the church. Things that are in the Bible. Instead, beskichima nezinto ezingeke eBhayibhelini. Hayi bazalwane, ima angathi niyazazi nani lani buya khona. Uma mfundisi khona labeka khonza khona, angeke ngilisha igama publicly. But mangabe ufuna ukwazi, unga consult naye after the church. And then uzokwazi ukuthi ngikhuluma khona labeka khonza khona. We were so convinced with those practices that they are bringing us closer to God. And yet we were lost. The glory was gone. The glory was forfeited. Are we together, Barcelona? Even with me, I was an altar boy. Shy red and white. And that was when the church had been, if for lack of a better word, captured, lost the truth, lost the power. But we began to see God restoring the church bit by bit. As a matter of fact, even with us who are supposed to be a Christian church, there were a lot of things that we were doing which were not necessarily biblical doctrine. I mean, you know that as the church, we used to fuss about ukugqoka ibhlukwe nokungagqoki ibhlukwe, ukuthwala nokungathwali. There were seasons where it was more like a holiness movement, and we were so desperate to emphasize holiness that we started using things that have got nothing to do with holiness. Nothing to do with holiness. We thought that if I look a certain way, I will be perceived as holy, you know. And yet we focused on the outward look, but deep down here, we were rotten. But yet, to this day, Jesus promises us that no man abe ibandla lingabonakala as weak today, even if the church can look as if it is confused, it is weak, it is unable to do certain things. I mean, even our government, yes, vuvaya, and bonakala ngathi ibandla alinamandla, bazalwane. But here's one thing that the Lord Jesus Christ promises us. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, verse 27, the Bible says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So in other words, today it might look like we have some spots and we are wrinkled in certain areas. Today we might be struggling to buy properties. Today we might be struggling even to go out and preach the gospel in places where we would want to go. It might look like we are limited financially. But one thing that Jesus is promising us is that I am still working on my church. I am still rebuilding my church. And one thing I am going to return for, I am not going to return for a weak and a defeated church. He says, I am going to return for a church that is full of the glory, that is full of the power, the church that is going to be functioning. If not, Barcelona, it's not even going to be the same as the book of Acts. Because the promise is that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. So in other words, if we admired the church in the book of Acts and we think that it was so powerful we cannot attain that level, Jesus has not yet stopped restoring his church. He is still restoring his church. He is rebuilding his church. And the glory that we saw hitting the book of Acts, Barcelona, it is going to multiply. It is going to increase. Whether it happens in our lifetime or not, but we know that it is definitely going to happen before this Jesus returns. He cannot return for such a church as ours today, full of spots and wrinkles, so confused and frustrated. He's coming back for a powerful church. So in other words, the prophetic promises of a restored temple are also applicable to us as the 21st century church. So even as he said in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 verse 7, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. And then he says, I will glorify the house of my glory. There is that glory, Bazalwane, that is filling the church in this season. And it is the work of the Lord. There is that glory that is going to lift us higher and higher. It is going to beautify the church. It is going to bring back the honor, the dignity that we are supposed to have as the church. It will bring back the authority, the power that we are supposed to be having, that we will not have to share the same territory as the devil. At this moment, the devil feels like he can share some territories with us, but there is coming a glory, Barcelona, that is going to dispel the powers of darkness, that if a church is planted in a region, the devil will know, I cannot stay around this region any longer. I have been feeding people drugs. I have been causing people to sell their bodies. I have been causing people to abort their children, but not anymore. But there is a glorious church that has invaded a region. I mean, we know of that man who was so full of demons that when Jesus showed up, he said, oh, Jesus, are you here to bother us before your time? And Jesus said, you know what? It is what it is. You know the authority. You know the rank. In other words, we cannot share the same space. So choose where you want to go. I am telling you, there is coming a time, and I believe that time is now, that we will never share the same region with demonic spirits and demonic influences. There are certain regions that the devil knows that as soon as we are there, he has got to pack his bags and he has got to leave that region. We are going to begin to see deliverance take place before we even go to preach, by reason of planting that church. Demons will manifest and they will be calling us and say, we don't understand. There is a spiritual phenomenon that is taking place in this school. We don't know what these kids have eaten. We see them manifest. Why? Because the glory of the latter house shall never be compared to the glory of the former. The glory is coming back to the church. Because we are not built for shame. We are not built for powerlessness. We are not built for confusion, but we are built for His glory. When we are building this thing by the blueprint of heaven, the glory has got to show. The glory of God has got to show, and I love it. I want to prophesy a bit, because He says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. And He says, silver and gold belongs to me. So in other words, don't be worried about the kind of an assignment I'm giving you as the church. Silver and gold belongs to me. You know the Great Commission, the book of Matthew 28, especially in line with our mandate, lesson 26, alala uJesu athi khona, go. Say, alala uJesu athi khona, go. But the previous verse says, all power, all authority has been given unto me. And then he says, therefore go. So in other words, we are not just going. We are going with the one who has power and authority. Listen, the previous verse says, I have all power and authority. And the last statement that he says, after he says, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I've commanded you to do. The last statement, he says, behold, I am going to be with you always, oh Jesus. So not only is He sending us, He is going with us. And if He's going with us, He is going with us as the one who has the power and the authority. He is the one who is the King of glory. So in other words, when we show up in the territory, devil, we are not showing up alone. Greater is He who is in us than the one who is in the world. I am believing God for that kind of a glory, Bazalwane. That when we have a prayer meeting, that the nations will be shaking, that the foundations of the devil will be shaking, that the foundations of witchcraft will be shaking. But let's close. But Peter says, it's not just going to be you who is doing it. He's showing us that there is going to be a spirit that is going to be resting upon us. And already God was talking to the builders when they were restoring the temple, and he already prophetically through Haggai, he spoke to them and said, listen, the Bible says in Zechariah 4 verse 6, this is the word of the Lord Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, he says, but by my spirit. So if you are listening to me confused this morning and you are saying to me, Mfundisi, how are we going to be able to do all of those things that you are talking about? How on earth that when a church is planted here, demons will be manifesting in schools? It is not going to be by power. It is not going to be by might, but it is going to be by the spirit of the living God. But take note, Gebazalwane. This spirit that we are talking about is the spirit of glory. That's what the Bible says. It is the spirit of glory that is carried by those who have gone through the suffering for the sake of building according to his pattern and blueprint. In other words, the minute you decide that I want to build God's way, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a price to pay. In other words, we will go through the suffering. We will go through the pain, the inconvenience. Not because of anything wrong that we have done, but because of the right thing we want to do. Because the enemy is not going to smile at us, watching us pursue the call of God, watching us build that kind of a church that is going to frustrate him. So in other words, there is a spirit that rests only upon those who are willing to take up their cross and say, no matter how much I am persecuted, I am going to build it God's way. No matter how much I am mocked, I am going to build it God's way. No matter how much I am going to be criticized, I am going to build it God's way. No matter how much I am going to be attacked, I am going to build it God's way. And guess what? This scripture implies that as they criticize you, as they mock you, as they call you names, how many of you have been in a situation where mayo attend umcimbi wakini? So unegama bakubiza ngalo when you show up. Not because konke wrong oyenzini. Not because ulele tavern izolo. But because uthe ngizofika late ngoba ngizoqala esontweni. And already they start calling you names. The Bible says on their side it is blasphemy. On their side, they are dealing with you. On their side, they are mocking you. Shall I summarize it like this? On their side, they are winning. Just like even today, the devil is under the impression that he is winning. He's under the impression that, you know what? I'm dealing with this church. He's under the impression that Lazila Hupegi Banj. It's the same thing that he thought when Jesus was buried. He thought he has won. He thought uJesu esiphambanweni makathi it is finished. He thought, no, kusekupheli. But then he rose back up again. After 3 days, the Bible says. And I do believe that while the world, people, colleagues, friends who are persecuting us, you know that there are people, let's stand on our feet, Bazalani Yavala, Ramambel, Anglan, Kumnando Puma, Pastel, ha! Oh, Jesus, Father, I do believe that in this season, while the enemy thinks he is winning, he's gaining ground, the glory of God will be rising over the church. Because these marks, these stripes, what are they doing? They are attracting a spirit. And the Bible calls that spirit the spirit of glory. And when we carry the spirit of glory, guess what? Guess what, Bazalan? Only things of the highest order, highest level, highest dimension will manifest in our lives. Let me put it this way. Mhlambe if uSatan akakhluphanga kangaka, probably you were going to reach certain levels in your career that were even going to be acceptable in your life. You were going to settle for the second dimension kind of success, and it was going to be okay. But when he was adding the stripes, when one more friend was mocking you, when one more thing was happening in your life, he was elevating you to a level of carrying the spirit of glory. That now that I am entering into this season crying, weeping, I am attracting not just a multi-million business, but a multi-billion business. Because for each stripe, devil, you were adding a rank in my life. You were qualifying me for things. You were making me a captain. You were making me, I don't know, a brigadier, if there's something to that effect. Because wonke lama rank as an ama stripe. So you were pushing me. Litini pili mochesu. Liti, he was made perfect through suffering. He was made perfect through suffering. In other words, the more he suffered, the more he was perfected. The more he suffered, the more he was perfected. The more he suffered, the more he was perfected. So that's why the Bible says, don't think it's strange. Don't be shocked by the things that you are going through. Know this, there's a spirit of glory that is hovering over you. That spirit of glory will shift you and take you to dimensions that you never thought of. Let's close our eyes and lift up our hands. Father, we thank you that the spirit of glory is upon us as the church. The spirit that is going to empower us, oh Father, to do the things that you have called us to do. To fulfill difficult assignments. To invade difficult territories. In the name of Jesus Christ, O God. Father, we thank you in the glorious, matchless name of Jesus Christ. That is from today, O Father, as we walk out of this place, we are walking out, O Master, with a rank in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that, O Father, we are going to excel in difficult assignments. We are going to excel, oh God, in challenging assignments, oh Father. We thank you, oh God, that we are not going to be defeated. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that we are stepping into the kind of glory that is greater, that is more brighter than any kind of glory, oh God. Father, we acknowledge that if that temple was not destroyed, it was going to settle at that level of the glory that it had experienced. But because it was destroyed and it had to be rebuilt, you said the glory of this latter house shall be greater. And therefore it shall be so in our lives, in our finances, in our marriages. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people said, Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much and keep on building.